It is 52 degrees now. KQEN News Time is 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Another program where we talk about the recovery from the Archie Creek fire specifically, but in general, the other fires that impacted Oregon as well. We had a conversation earlier this week with Matt Hill of Douglas Timber Operators, who is well-versed in the Glide, Idlewild Park, and North Umpqua areas. He said the latest number of homes destroyed now is listed at 176. Obviously, that directly impacts hundreds of people. That could be some of you, and if you were not impacted directly, many folks in the Umpqua Valley know folks who were, so it's a good time now to kind of get some information together, kind of share what's going on, and while some of the initial deadlines and things like that have already passed, this is going to be a very long-term process, and we are joined by Jaciel Olivero from the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Thanks for being with us today.
Hi, hello, Carolyn. Thank you for inviting us today to provide the public with a little bit more updates about what's going on with the fires here in Oregon.
So it's 4 months later, and to say much work remains is really an understatement. This is going to be a long-haul project recovering from the Archie Creek fires, the other wildfires as well. Talk about the role of the Federal Emergency Management Agency in assisting those who suffered these great losses.
Well, as you mentioned before, we have a role here in assisting the wildfire survivors. We are working along with the state in assisting them. Until now, we have eight designated counties, which are Clackamas, Marion, Lincoln, Lane, Douglas, Jackson, and Klamath, who are going to be receiving individual assistance and public assistance. This is mean like if somebody was affected by the wildfire, they have the opportunity to apply for a disaster assistance through FEMA. And as you mentioned before, the deadline has passed. So there is a lot going on still for those people who are affected and different resources that are available for them.
Obviously, when you have a situation like this, any natural disaster, it's often a long-term recovery, but especially when you have homes lost and so many implications, infrastructure destroyed, things like that, there's really a lot of areas for FEMA to look at.
Yes, it is, especially when there is a cleaning process and debris removal. In this particular case, this process can last up to 6 months. In the meantime, the cleaning up is finished and all of the areas are inspected, and they may be available for construction of the land, just repair the paths to put what it is on recreational vehicle for those who need temporary housing, especially in the areas of Marion, Lane, Jackson, and Lane.
And the housing issue here in Douglas County has been a big one as well. We already had a shortage of housing before the fires, and with some folks moving in from California at the moment, we seem to have an influx there. So it's been a bit of a struggle for people around here. We're aware of people that are still living in motels from losing their home in the fire 4 months ago, and maybe for the foreseeable future. A lot of other people, purchased or borrowed or whatever RVs and are living at various locations.
Yes, it is. Just I wanted to correct something that I just say. The four counties that have designated to receive what it is direct temporary housing are Marion, Lincoln, and Lane in Jackson County. So as to respond to your question, yes, there's a lot of people living in motels. So far, 77 Jackson County families whose homes were severely damaged or destroyed by this year's wildfire have been licensed in to temporary housing units from FEMA. And right now, in Marion and Lane counties, construction began December 30th. on a FEMA good site in Mill Park where temporary housing will be placed. The site will accommodate up to 16 MHUs, that is mobile home units, providing necessary temporary housing for the qualified residents for the both of these counties. Currently, 240 qualified families are scheduled to receive FEMA direct temporary housing in Jackson, Lincoln, Lynn, and Marion counties. The current number of qualified families, Kyle, has fallen as many households that qualify for this assistance have located or attained to temporary or permanent housing on their own, and as FEMA has begun licensing in qualified survivors and their families. As you mentioned before, people apply before for this kind of assistance, and because this is a very long process in cleaning up and making available units, so it's going to take a little while because sometimes the weather may be a factor from delays as well.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about the weather aspect here in a bit because that's already been an issue in places in Oregon. The federal government's got a big role in things like this. The state of Oregon is involved as well, and they've each got different things they do. But how does FEMA work with the state? There's obviously plenty of work to go around.
Yes, of course. They actually work together, and they discuss, you know, according to what the needs are from survivors and the designated county. And they just take in consideration what kind of support and assistance they can offer to that particular county. However, if you need more details on that, you may want to refer to the state so they can have more information for you in this matter.
Now, from FEMA, there are a lot of things that people can still do to get help. I mean, there's a website and a helpline and things like that. Talk about some of those.
Yes, one of the things that we have available is the FEMA helpline where people can call and find out more information relating to the resources that are available for them. For example, there is disaster legal assistance from where they can talk and ask questions related to the wildfire, or they can call 1-800-452-7636 or 503-684-3763. And this is especially for those, Kyle, who want to appeal a decision. Sometimes people may receive a determination letter, and that doesn't mean that they may not be eligible for disaster assistance in the near future. That may mean that they, you know, may have a mistake in the application process, or they may have put any kind of number, either from their information ID or from their household. And that may differ with the information that they have in the identification card, and that may be one of the reasons why this particular survivor may be receiving a determination letter. Though they have up to 60 days to appeal a FEMA decision, and this is one of the kind of support that they may need to appeal a decision. Another one is disaster case management, and this is our community members who are involved in local, state, tribal, or federal programs providing case management. I'd encourage to reach out to and stay in touch with the providers throughout the recovery. And another resource is the 211 Info, which is a nonprofit funded by the state and municipal contract foundations and other local partners where they can get help as well. And they can get this information to our calling 211 or 866-698-6155. And one that is very important right now, Kyle, especially because we are living in stressful times, and there is a lot of people experiencing anxiety, is the crisis counseling, which is available for Oregon residents affected by the wildfire. And we understand these are difficult times. People may be dealing with homeschooling, working from home, or even experiencing that kind of a stress that we don't have home because we just experienced these fires and we are homeless. We are living in a motel. The thing that you point out earlier. So, and these are maybe challenging times for a lot of families. So they can have somebody to talk to by dialing the crisis counseling number 1-800-923-4357. And as always, they can actually reach out to FEMA at 1-800-621-3362 to find out more resources, more information, and also to update the registration as well.
And obviously, we can't overestimate the need for the mental health and the crisis counseling. I mean, we already had a tough year going on last year with COVID-19. Add this to the mix and some of the other things that you just mentioned, and a lot of people, plus the whole aspect, and I've talked to a few of the folks who did lose everything, just mentally how scattered that leaves you, how, you know, daunting that feels.
Yes, they may be very difficult, and that's why we always encourage survivors, if they were affected by the wildfire, keep in touch with FEMA, updating your information, or maybe just to kind of see how your application process is going, and especially in these times, there's people that may think that, oh, we're feeling left behind because they may see that the process is coming slow, but it's not like that. The process is moving forward. There is a lot of work going on behind the scenes, especially in this kind of site construction for mobile units, so people can move in, and also processing applications and going through appealing processes so survival can get the assistance and the help that they need. It is very important to report with the agency any changes that a person or applicant has. For example, if somebody moves, as I say before, there's people living in a hotel, but their situation may change. So if that's the case of somebody, please call the agency 1-800-621-3362, and operators are available from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day. Please update your information and let the agency know of any changes that you have experienced so you don't experience delay in the application process.
Good to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Haciel Olivero with the Federal Emergency Management Agency. More about wildfire recovery and help available when we come back. The interview will be a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1247 Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249. Lars Larson coming up at 1. On Monday's program, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer will get our weekly update on COVID-19, especially curious with the vaccine controversy, if you will, today. We'll be covering some of that on Monday's program. And, of course, lots more ahead of the coming days on Inside Douglas County. Haciel Olivero is with us from the Federal Emergency Management Agency. I'm curious just how long you've been with FEMA.
I have been for a couple of years with the agency supporting many different disasters throughout the nation.
And how did you get into it? What was it about FEMA that interested you?
Well, our mission, just to support survivors before, during, and after disaster, of course, and serve my country and assist those who are in need in times of disaster. Because now I think nobody is expecting anything bad to happen to them, maybe fire, maybe hurricane, and just being able to assist and collaborate with those federal assistance that we offer to survivors, for me, is just a fulfilling feeling.
Well, it's obviously, as I mentioned, a long-term situation. FEMA has got involved very early on at the front end following the presidential declaration, and there's a lot of paperwork trails involved and things like that. But talk about sort of the long-term, long-term work of FEMA.
Well, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, it's because it's the cleaning up process. This is one. The other one is just habilitating or making available housing units for people, because we had to find the pods and we had to start leasing and we had to start the inspection, and all of these steps take time to complete, and that's why it may be a little bit longer, especially when the weather is, you know, we work as weather permitted. We may have, as the other day, we have what it is, the winter rain, and if it is cold, if it's snowing, that is going to stop the process of maybe inspectioning or maybe getting ready the land in order to have those mobile units available for survivors.
And we already saw this week elsewhere in Oregon, out east of Springfield, I know they had a slide there that was tied to all the changes to the land following the fire in that area, one up in the gorge as well. And now that we're right in the midst of winter, obviously that kind of thing is a big concern.
Of course it is. You know, after the wildfire happened, you know, the land or the area remained at risk of flash flooding and mud flows. And that is one of the reasons why, you know, this kind of fires and disaster destroy vegetation that helps keep soil in place. And it can take years, Kyle, for plants and grass to grow back. And this increases the risk of flooding in mudflow. So this is a very real concern. And according to our federal coordinating, just 1 inch of water in the average home can cause up to 25,000 in damages, Kyle.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
And it's a big number, but then you think about other situations, pipes break and people are gone and you come home and you have a mess, and it's not hard to have the damage add up to that level really quickly. You know, a lot of the people in our area that were impacted by the wildfires were told had no insurance or were underinsured. And it seems like there's been a lot of reluctance from some folks to try to seek out some of the help from FEMA. Is that kind of normally the case in disasters?
Well, that may be because this is an example that I actually like to give out to the press. And let's put it in this way. You may have insurance, right? But first, you have to understand the policy that you may have, right? And what it covers, that policy that you hold. And for example, if you have damages that sustain something about $20, let's put it like that, and you have a policy that only covers you $15, you may need $5 to complete the assistance that you need, right, to get back on track or to renew or rebuild your units, right, or your property. And that's when the difficulty may start for people who don't know what kind of policy they hold or what does the policy cover. So they may want to assess insurance and go to insurance, you know, before they can apply with FEMA, of course. But they had to gather all of the paperwork and find out what policy they have so they can keep going through the process with the registration with FEMA. Of course, there will be assistance by one of our representatives in FEMA and asks what is the need that they have and the damages, and the registration will be processed, and they go through the process, you know, if they have to be referred to the SBA or if they have to be jumped back to FEMA. What happens sometimes, Kyle, is that when people find out that they may have to be referred to the SBA, they just abandon the registration process, you know, and that is actually very common with people who have insurance and they have to be referred to the SBA. That doesn't mean that they won't be approved by the agency. That means that they may be eligible for a loan instead of being eligible for public assistance or federal assistance, but that's going to be a determination between both agencies. For example, if they are referred to the SBA and they go through the process, they don't have to take a loan from the SBA. They can be jumped back to FEMA or referred back to FEMA from the SBA according to the registration process and the documentation that they present. And apparently, after their process and after the registration process go through, they can be jumped back to FEMA and they can be approved for those $5 that they need to complete because insurance only gave them or provided them, according to the policy, $15. And that's one of the key for people to know. Understand, please understand the policy that you hold. Talk to your insurance agent and get the information that you need. So when you apply for federal assistance, or by the time you need to prove or send your documentation out, everything is in order so you can avoid delays in the registration process.
Now, a lot of the initial deadlines for getting in on things have long since passed. For folks who missed all that, is there a way to jump in at this point and appeal or something?
I don't think so because the deadline has already passed, though they may call to the helpline and find out more information and they can explain the situation or the reason why they didn't apply on time because this deadline, which was November the 30th, was extended another month. So there was time for people to apply, but if for any reason somebody stayed or didn't apply, they can always reach out to FEMA and talk to a representative and go through the process and speak and explain the situation. One of the common reasons also, Kyle, is that people don't get the information from the right resources.
All right, Haciel Olivero from the Federal Emergency Management Agency, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you for having us today. Have a great afternoon.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.